What's one tax hack that's totally misunderstood but actually works?
You can have tax deductions for pets. Go Google it. How do I get to write off my pet? Is it a security dog?
Now that Trump is in office, what should people expect to see in their taxes? What is new about having him in office?
One thing we'll see is the Trump tax cuts that we did in 2017 will be restored. He has promised
no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, and no tax on Social Security benefits.
I think that's definitely going to be in that bill.
Write-offs. You always hear people say, oh, that's a write-off. That's a write-off. Let's get into what real write-offs are.
Here's one I like. If you have to pay taxes and you're thinking, oh my God, I have so many clothes in my closet. I got these purses I never use. Go donate them. An auditor has like a few seconds to look at a tax return and decide whether he wants to pull it to audit it. And they're looking for...
Can someone really live in Florida or Texas just for tax savings while working in a high tax state?
There you go. There's something the IRS likes to audit, right? And so...
I've been audited for that. Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Do your eyes glaze over when someone says the word taxes? Be honest. Once we hit April 1st, we all start sweating over W-2s, 1099s, and wondering how much we forgot to write off, and also what we can write off. Tax talk usually isn't sexy, but today we're flipping the script. Joining me is Julio Gonzalez, known in financial circles as the most interesting man in tax. He's a tax strategist for the ultra wealthy, a power player behind the curtain, helping billionaires, Fortune 500s, and even celebrities legally keep more of their money. He also believes the everyday average person is just as entitled to save every bit of everything they can. He's the founder and CEO of Engineered Tax Services, and he's here to pull back the curtain on everything we think we know about taxes. What's misunderstood about taxes? Almost everything, from write-offs to tax credits to the real reasons the rich stay rich. It's not magic, it's strategy, and Julio's breaking it all down for us. So buckle up today. You're going to learn how to stop overpaying the government and start playing the tax game like the uber rich do. Welcome, Julio Gonzalez, the most interesting man in tax. Julio, it is so exciting to have you here to talk all about taxes. Thank you for joining me on Misunderstood.
Oh my gosh, what a privilege. Thank you.
So before we get into the meat of the interview, I really want our listeners to know a little bit about you and how you even got into this. Can you talk a little bit about like your upbringing and what made you interested in this kind of, you know, decision to go into this line of work?
Yeah, well, you know, grew up with a big family in Miami and had an opportunity to get out of Miami and go to Colorado, University of Colorado. And my wrestling coach there was in taxes and offered me an opportunity to work with him, you know, during school. So in 81, I started my accounting career and what a blessing. And I got to do it for 20 years, helping Fortune 500 companies eliminate taxes, mitigate taxes. And then in 2001, I started my company to basically bring that kind of tax equality to all small business owners, all individuals through creating tax literacy. And it's just been a phenomenal journey because I think everyone should have equal access to the tax code. And, you know, it's such an honor to help people.
Right. Okay. So explain, you know, a lot of people think of people that are in tax, they're a CPA. You're not a CPA, right? I mean, you do something different. Explain exactly what it is that your company does.
Yeah, we're really a resource to accounting firms and to individuals. We help with tax credits, tax incentives, grants, all the things that mitigate, minimize taxes. And we bring that resource to accounting firms, help them be more proactive, help them be better with their clients, and ultimately bring that equality that you would think Fortune 500 companies and, you know, the private equity firms get every day.
Right. So you're the people you're working with are the CPAs and accountants. How are they finding you? Like, what is, I mean, it seems like every accountant should use your company because that makes them more attractive to their own clients because they can say that they have access to this information that can get them better credits, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's listen, since 2001, I've been on planes, trains, and automobiles, every state in the country, visiting every accounting firm, knocking on their doors. And now we have obviously a few hundred people here that are out there promoting to those accounting firms and family offices and getting that message out there. You know, my legacy will be, do I create tax equality for every small business owner, every individual in this country? And, you know, that's really the goal. I only have a few years left, right? You know, now that I'm in my 60s. And, but, you know, but my legacy will be getting on podcasts like this and helping get that message out.
Yeah. All right. So let's get right into taxes. As I've said a couple times when we were speaking, when you hear the word taxes or you get closer to April 15th, most people's, you know, eyes glaze over, they get all anxious, they don't know what to do. So let's just get into all the like nitty gritty. First of all, what I want to know is there are so many people that choose to do their taxes online themselves versus hire a CPA. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that that would be okay if you first went into the internet and started researching about tax credits, tax incentive grants that you could take when you're doing that tax return to help yourself, right? Because it's like health, right? Everyone invests in health and they do a good job at working out every day and had good diet and exercise, but no one really invests in, you know, the tax side of it and the wealth side of it. And listen, I think that most Americans can minimize the taxes they pay in by just doing some research on their own, investigating these incentives that everyone takes advantage of in the big companies, and it's afforded to everyone, right? And so just taking a few minutes, like no one, you're right, everyone's eyes glaze over, no one wants to talk about taxes, but really if you invest just a little bit of time, you can do a great job of minimizing your own taxes and keeping that capital, right? So that you can grow your company, grow with your wealth. And I think that's important.
Right. If somebody is looking to hire an accountant because it's too much for them to do it, what are some signs that you should look for when hiring someone?
Great question. I would interview that accountant. First of all, do you understand the industry I'm in? Do you work with other companies that are in this industry? So you might understand maybe the tax incentives or write-offs associated with being in that industry. And then are they proactive? Will they get with you once a quarter and say, here's what I think your estimated taxes are going to be. Now let's work on what we need to do to minimize those taxes, because the tax code provides us so many opportunities to invest in ourselves and bring down our taxes. But, you know, if you have an accountant that's reactive and doesn't even get with you until you're filing your tax returns well past the year, right? Meeting with you in March of the following year, then there's not much they can do. So got to find someone who's proactive, that knows your industry, that is an investment that's going to get you a return on investment. If you're paying them $100, they better return $1,000 in tax opportunities and really be on your side, help your portfolio.
Right. I want to talk about the truth about write-offs. You always hear people say, oh, that's a write-off. That's a write-off. Let's get into what real write-offs are. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, real write-offs for business owners are anything associated with being in that business. For individuals, you know, the write-offs are associated with investing in yourself, whether that's education. We have wealth write-offs. We have health write-offs, right? So when you're investing yourself as an individual, there's a lot of health discounts and tax write-offs, you know, education, retirement, setting aside money for your own company or for 1099 for doing your own kind of like gig work. And so there's so many opportunities. Again, just go into ChatGPT and say, I do this. What are all the write-offs associated with being this? And we know like AI makes it so easy now.
Oh, that's a good one. I never thought of that. Okay. What would you say is the most underrated business write-off that people miss?
You know, I think one of the biggest ones, and this happened really during COVID, right? And since then, people are working from home. And a lot of people don't write off the home office and the home deductions associated with working from home or traveling when they're using their car to go to meetings or traveling to go to meetings. A lot of this associated with working from home, a lot of people just flat out miss it. A lot of people miss health deductions for taking care of themselves and investing in their, you know, themselves. A lot of people have education or continuing professional courses that they don't deduct. And so, you know, everything can be a deduction if you think about, if I'm going to an event, is there going to be business? So if I'm traveling, can I make some business, you know, meetings and things of that nature?
Right. And what about when people go to charities? You always hear that, oh, I can write this off as well. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So charitable deductions are big in our country, and a lot of people give. And here's one I like. Like, listen, if you have to pay taxes and you're thinking, oh my God, I have so many clothes in my closet. I got these purses I never use. Go donate them. Go give them to charity. Go to Goodwill. I mean, there's probably a tremendous amount of tax deductions sitting in your house, sitting in your closet. You're not going to use it again. And just get the write-off from it and go donate it. So that's a great one.
But what does it really mean when you get the write-off for it? Let's say somebody makes $100,000 a year, and let's say they donate a bunch of shit in their closet and they write off their home office, and they, you know, is it pennies on the dollar that they're getting as the write-off? How does that translate in math?
No, it's really dollar for dollar. So listen, if you're doing $100,000 in net income a year, that means taxes is going to be, depending on the state, between $40,000 to $50,000, almost half, right?
Right.
And so now we got $50,000 in taxes we owe, and now we're going to go contribute $10,000 to charity. Well, I mean, that's going to be dollar for dollar deduction, right? So now we're down to $40,000, and we had home office expenses of $10,000 for our business. Right now we're down to, from $50,000 in taxes due, now we're down to $30,000, right? And let's just keep chipping away. Well, we traveled, but we had some business, right, associated with that. Now we're down to $25,000. Let's just keep going, right? We did some things with our health savings account. Now I'm down to $20,000, but I can set up a retirement account, right, and invest in me long term, and then eliminate the rest of the taxes, right? And so that's what I would do. But you got to be proactive, right? Because 90% of what you have to do to minimize your taxes has to be done by midnight on, you know, December 31st. Mm. But look, if you're still filing, you're on extension right now, there's still things you can do, but a lot of what you have to do is before the end of the year.
Wait, so what do you mean by that? Because I think a lot of the average person thinks they have until April 15th to figure it out and file it. So that's not, you have to do it before the end of the prior year.
Yeah, and fire your accountant if they didn't get with you before the end of the year and start helping you with it. If they come to you in March and say, oh my God, you owe all these taxes and we're limited in what we can do now, you got to get rid of that accountant because that's not the right accountant. The right accountant would have been meeting with you in October and saying, hey, before December 31st, let's do 80% of these things that the government allows us to do to lower our taxes. But look, a lot of people are probably in this boat, Rachel, where, all right, it's March. My accountant just said, I got a big tax bill. We didn't do any tax planning, but the IRS has about 20 things we can still do, which is set up a retirement account or don't put money into a health savings account. Or maybe we own real estate and we didn't take some of the write-offs from the previous year. Or we have a business and we had some tax credits we missed. So there's still opportunities to help, even though we're past 12/31.
Right. So everyone listening, if you're accountant or CPA has not gotten a hold of Julio's company, they better do it now to get some help on how to figure it out. Is there a write-off myth that's always, you know, leading to an audit that people don't realize?
Well, I mean, you know, audits are, you know, the IRS is there, you know, checking things. You know, obviously the IRS kind of looks at tax returns. They have like an auditor has like a few seconds to look at a tax return and decide whether he wants to pull it to audit it. And they're looking for things that are big deductions that are outside of the norm. So I would think that most people are just taking deductions that are, you know, normal and things that the IRS agents see all the time. So, but, you know, big deductions, you know, that would raise a red flag, you know, are kind of things that, you know, they're looking for. And so, you know, if you're looking to take a big deduction, then I would work with my accountant and say, you know, is this reasonable?
Right, right. Okay. Let's get into what you were talking about before, credits, incentives, and grants. Can you kind of break those down? Are they state by state? How do people find them? What are they? What are the biggest ones that we should know about?
Let's start with grants, because I see this as the biggest missed opportunity. Now, grants, I would say that there's billions of dollars in grants at the federal level, at the state level, at the local level. And there's a missed opportunity. I think any small business owner should look for these grants, whether you come to me and I could run a report for any business in 10 seconds and let them know of 100 different grants that they're probably able to have access to, right? But all the only people that take advantage of the grants are, you know, Ford, Tesla, Microsoft, Meta, you know, the big companies. No one applies for these grants. No small business owner ever thinks to apply for these grants, but there's hundreds of thousands of dollars of local grants, state grants, and women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, small business owners. And literally, I would just say, start with ChatGPT. Go in there and say, I own a podcast company. I live in Florida. What grants are associated for women-owned business? And watch them start to come up. But ultimately, these are free capital, right? You don't have to pay these back, and they're easy to apply for. And I would recommend that all business owners, I know every business owner is so busy running their business, but this is free capital and no one ever applies.
So it doesn't matter the size is what you're saying. The smallest company can apply as well.
Yeah, any company should look at this opportunity. And I think if you have an accounting firm and they're not bringing these grants to you, again, you may want to look at a different accounting firm if they are not mentioning this to you. But I would say, listen, I could run a grant report for any company and obviously get those to you. And then whether you go apply or we help you apply or your CPA helps you apply, that's up to you. But I would tell all your listeners, at least take a look at it. At least right. Take a look at these opportunities.
Wow. Okay. What about incentives?
Incentives. Like, so we have so many tax incentives in our country. You know, one of the big ones is if we invest in real estate, we get to write that off, right? So that's a great incentive. And in our country, when you invest in real estate, there's probably like 25 different federal, state, and local incentives that come with investing in real estate. So these tax incentives obviously lower your taxable income. Mm-hmm. And what if you're a small business owner, we have so many tax write-offs. I would say incentives equal tax write-offs. And, you know, there's so many associated with your own small business, investing in real estate, investing in yourself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, go into ChatGPT and say, this is the business I'm in. What are the opportunities for write-offs for my business and tax incentives?
You brought up real estate, and that was a question for later, but let's bring it up now. I think people have a lot of questions about that. So should people be buying real estate to rent, like an Airbnb type situation? Is that what is going to help them get the money back quicker? Like, what are some real estate hacks for, you know, tax write-offs that you can share with us?
Yeah, I think real estate is the number one investment to get tax write-offs. So I think Airbnb is a great example, right? Where you can have an investment. See, in our country, if you buy real estate, the IRS allows you to expense it, right? So if I bought a $100,000 home, I get to expense the majority of that investment. You know, if I buy a stock or a bond or something like that, a CD, I don't get to write it off. It's an investment, but whoever you're investing that money in, they're probably taking the tax write-offs, right? But if I own my own real estate, then I get to take those write-offs. Now, it can be fun, right? So say, I don't want to rent out my house, but I want to rent out the backyard and rent out the pool. And that, well, then we can start taking tax deductions on your landscaping and the pool and all those things. Or I just want to rent out a room. Well, then we can do the tax deductions associated with that room. And otherwise, right, we rent out the house or we rent out a building. And then we get to have all those tax deductions. And it's great.
And is there something to be said for putting, you know, buying in cash, or do you not want to buy in cash because that's better for taxes? How does that work?
Yeah, whether you buy in cash or finance doesn't impact how much of the tax write-offs you get.
Okay.
But what it does impact, right, is if I'm putting, I'll give you an example. If I owed $2 million in taxes, right, I would go buy real estate, but maybe I'd take the $2 million that I owe the IRS, I would take $200,000 and put that down on a $2 million property, right? Now, I took $200,000, leveraged it to buy a property. Now I'm going to get all these tax deductions to help me eliminate the $2 million I owe. And I basically took a tax liability and switched it to an appreciating asset, right? And did it for $200,000 in my own cash, saved the $1.8 million, right? Because I didn't pay the IRS. the 2 million. And that's what people do in our country. They take a tax liability that they owe, and instead they go use it to invest in real estate or buy a company and get the tax write-offs associated with it. And this is what the IRS allows us to do. But here's the thing. If you're going to buy that real estate, or you're going to buy a company that gives you tax write-offs, you got to do it before the end of the year, right? It has to be in the same tax period. So this is why when people miss that opportunity, then there's other things we can do at the, you know, past the year. But still, these are the best things. And this is why you have to have an account that's saying, Rachel, you owe $100,000. Instead of paying that to the IRS, why don't you take $20,000, go buy a couple of properties, and we'll eliminate the taxes through the write-offs. And now you have an appreciating asset that pays you monthly rent. Wow. You get all these tax benefits. It's going to compound and grow, right, and appreciate. And now you took that $100,000 you owe in taxes, and 20 years down the road, you have, you know, $10 million in real estate.
Right. Genius.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Did you know that over 70 million Americans suffer from chronic sleep problems? Sleep just isn't about rest. It's vital for hormone health, stress reduction, and overall well-being. I used to struggle so much with my sleep that I became addicted to sleeping pills. And then that only took care of the problem of falling asleep. Staying asleep was a whole nother problem. But then I discovered Dreamies. Dreamies is designed specifically for women, helping to support your body's natural rhythms through every hormonal shift. It's a powerful combination of melatonin, ashwagandha, and magnesium. It calms the mind, relaxes the body, and promotes deep, restorative sleep. Now I wake up feeling refreshed and balanced, and I no longer need those prescriptions. I fall asleep easily and without a worry. If you've been tossing and turning, it's time to let Dreamies transform your nights and your life. Prioritize your health with the power of sleep and take back your energy one night at a time. Dreamies, because every woman deserves deep, restful sleep. And then the final one I wanted to ask you about was credits then. What are credits?
So credits are the country's way of influencing what we do. So tax credits are a dollar for dollar write-off of taxes. So like, it's not a deduction, right? It's a complete, eliminates dollar for dollar. It doesn't reduce it by deductions. So tax credits are things that our country does to inspire certain things. So like, we have tax credits for making buildings energy efficient, right? So we want people to be energy efficient, and we're going to give them tax credits to build properties that are energy efficient because we want that activity. Or we have tax credits to invest in energy efficiencies, right? And things of that nature, or cars, energy efficient cars. That's what our tax credits currently are today. Or if we invest in our businesses, there's tax credits associated with hiring people and creating jobs. Or if you're creating innovation or you're making drugs or products that are innovative, we have tax credits, which are basically a refund of labor. But those are wonderful things. So again, grants, incentives, deductions, credits, they're all out there, and they're unfortunately often overlooked.
Right. Can someone really live in Florida or Texas or Nevada, I guess, just for tax savings while working in a high tax state?
You know, there's something the IRS likes to audit.
Okay.
Right. And so
I've been audited for that because I lived in both New York and Las Vegas, and they have a specific amount of time or days you have to stay there. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the rule is real simple. You have to have a majority of your time in the state that you're going to file in. Right. So if you're Florida, they say 6 months and a day, right, to be close. So like, we just had this court case where the guy filed his tax returns in Florida. New York said, no, I think you're a New York citizen. And they went through everything and found out that he was buying the pet food in New York, which meant the pet lived in New York, which meant that was probably his home. Lost the case, right? So, you know, listen, you got to, if you're going to do it, you really have to be in that state the majority of your time.
Right. Okay. Talk to me about, you know, how when you owe taxes and you are being audited, and let's say you haven't paid what you're supposed to pay, and you get these letters or these phone calls from these debt companies that say, okay, I can, you know, if you owe $50,000 in taxes, you pay us, we'll get that down to a minimum. Are those real? Should people listen to those? Or are those people from like Ghana trying to screw you out of money?
I've seen both, right? I've seen abusers in that industry, and I see people that, you know, attorneys that are, you know, are really good at it. But listen, you can just pick up the phone and call the IRS and do the same thing that they're doing, which is basically just calling the IRS and trying to negotiate, right? So you can negotiate on your own hat, but if you don't want to talk to them and you want to hire someone, make sure he's credible, make sure he's an attorney that has a good relationship with the IRS and has been doing it for a long time. So I would check those things.
So you're saying the IRS is open to negotiation sometimes?
Yeah, they'll talk to you and they're reasonable. And, you know, the IRS is not the enemy. They're just there making sure that people are being good citizens and not over abusing the tax code.
Right. What would you say is the number one way rich people legally avoid taxes that the average person could do, but they wouldn't know about it? I mean, you talked about real estate. That seems like a pretty great one. But is there one that the average person wouldn't know about?
We talked about it. I think, you know, Amazon, right? How are they, you know, people say they pay 10% taxes. They pay less taxes than individuals, right? Well, they're buying these huge, you know, Amazon center real estate, you know, centers, right? And then they're using the real estate as the write-off, right? So they're also hiring a lot of people and creating job credits, and they're investing in vehicles and trucks, right? Which are a write-off. And so they're investing in a lot of capital things that lower their taxes. Then they're buying equipment. Those are write-offs. So I think it's real estate, vehicles, you know, job credits. I think all those things. And they just do a great job of it. But any small business owner could do that, right? You could go buy a vehicle for your business and write that off. You could buy an office and write that off. And so I would suggest that. I wouldn't rent, you know, if you have an office, I would go buy it so that you get the write-off, not the person that you're paying rent to, and, you know, get the vehicles and investing in computer equipment and everything else.
Right. Okay, let's talk about small business and big tax hacks. you and I spoke last night about a situation where someone, you know, a lot of people after COVID have been doing work remotely. There are companies that run their businesses through multiple different states. And at the end of the year, they find out they have to pay taxes in all the states because they did business in those states. How would you suggest somebody deals with something like that, where it's not just one state that they're dealing with their business?
Yeah, I mean, that's tricky. I would make sure that, you know, I think this, Rachel, I think most business owners, you know, they kind of like, you know, they don't want a good in-house account. They don't want to pay a lot of money for that. They don't want to have an expensive accounting firm. I would tell business owners that that really can be your best investment if you hire a comptroller and get an accounting firm that's proactive and that's a return on investment and that understands the different state laws. And like, if you're proactively managing those states, just like you are with federal income, you can continue to bring those taxes down throughout the year and plan for that. Mm-hmm. And having an investment in a good person that's going to manage that for you. But again, I think most business owners probably don't really invest in that. They just hire someone that's not really good at that, reactive, and the CPA firms, same thing. And then, yeah, you get all these taxes, and then what are you going to do? When you probably could have mitigated that with just having a good team.
What's the difference between being married and single with taxes and kids and all these things that people are always wondering what they should do if they should combine their incomes?
Yeah, I mean, kids are a great credit every year. Have more kids and you know, and have them before 12/31, right?
Right, right.
The end of the year, right? Because, you know, right now, kids, you know, generate a great tax credit, obviously, single or married. You know, that's, you know, it, basically, whether you're married or single, I mean, like, it's just more deductions if you're married, obviously, filing as married and having children. So get married, have lots of kids, and obviously the government incents that with all these credits.
Right. What is it that we're missing that I don't even know to ask you that you think is important for, you know, the average listener to know? Again, people that are sitting here panicking because they haven't gotten their, you know, taxes in yet. That's literally what they're doing this coming weekend, you know, figuring all this stuff out. What are some pieces of advice you would give or things that say, oh, hey, by the way, have you thought about this? You know, make sure you ask your accountant to add this or take this out, however it works.
Yeah, listen, I think one, like we talked about the grants, I think most people, small business owners, individuals, don't look at these opportunities for all these amazing sea of grants out there that they can take advantage of. Number two, and we talked about this a little bit, just go to the web and say, I haven't filed my tax returns. I got to get them done in a week. What am I missing? You know, this is what I do. What am I missing? Go into ChatGPT, do that too. Like, what am I missing? Because it's amazing what you can find out on the internet and then, you know, continue to listen to podcasts and educate yourself. Again, it's not sexy. I don't know how to make this topic sexy and make it fun. But in reality, I see the billionaires and the multimillionaires that I know, peer friends of mine, they started from scratch too. And they preserved their wealth and capital by just being smart about tax planning. And it's just those, you know, if we save 50 cents of every dollar, like when you're in business, the government's your partner. And that partnership costs you 50 cents on the dollar, unless you continue to do tax planning and bring that to your advantage and take advantage of the rules, right? And if you're saving 20 cents on the dollar, well, that really builds up. And that allows you to continue to invest in your company and grow your wealth. And ultimately, you know, that's the difference I see between people that have a small business and people that have a large business that started here, right? It's that investment in tax planning that made a big difference.
Right. Leading up to this past January, we had a lot, all these political conversations and taxes were a big part of that. Now that Trump is in office, what should people expect to see in their taxes? What is new about having him in office?
Yeah. And I'm working on that tax policy with the administration and with Congress. And I think one thing we'll see is the Trump tax cuts that we did in 2017 will be restored 100%. So what's that 100% bonus depreciation? So when you're buying equipment or investing in things for your company or real estate, you'll get those accelerated write-offs. So I think that's most important. We're going to have, you know, R&D tax credits and other small business tax credits restored because a lot of that phased out. He has promised no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security. And I think that's definitely going to be in that bill. And he wants to lower tax rates. And so, you know, if he can bring that down a few points, that's a lot to get done.
How hard is that really to do, though?
Well, you would think it's like the Republicans have the House, they have the Senate, and the president's Republicans. So everything's in a line to get it done. It would seem that it would be easy. But even when you have all that in your favor, you're still going to have certain Republicans that are going to say, I'm not sure. And they don't have a big majority, right? They can only lose a couple of votes. So what would seem so simple to get done is never too simple when in reality. But, you know, I would think if they want to, you know, have a good midterm election coming in 18 months, then they'll get this done and keep promises made, promises delivered. I think they have to get that done.
Yeah. You brought up the internet earlier. I wanted to ask, is starting an LLC actually worth it for tax savings, or is it just a TikTok like finance bro thing?
No, I think the LLC is vital because, you know, one thing is it offers so much protection, right? If you're an individual and you do something bad in business, right, they can come after you. If you have the LLC, you have that shield. So that's vital. And and obviously, when you have an LLC, we have different tax rates, right, than associate with an individual so that you can lower your taxes. Like the small business owners under an LLC can reduce their taxes by 20% at the end of the year. And this is called a 199 deduction. It's not very sexy, but most people miss it, right? And it's just basically add up your income, add up your expenses. Okay, what's your bottom line? That's what you owe. Now reduce it by 20% because we want small business owners to have a lower tax rate. And that's the only way to do it. Now, if you're an individual, you're not going to get that reduction by 20%. So I would do both.
Right. What's one tax hack that's totally misunderstood but actually works that we haven't talked about?
Listen, you can have tax deductions for pets, right? But they have to be, you know, again, go Google it. How do I get to write off my pet? Is it a security dog? Is it helping in my business? Is it an influencer? You know, that's one.
Wow. A dog influencer
that,
can be
people
written
miss,
off.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah.
What about if you get, my dog just had double ACL surgery. Is that a write-off?
Listen, it's a write-off if he's, you know, kind of an employee of your company.
Right. Okay. Good point. If it's a canine for weapons detection, then maybe
there you go.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So to wrap this up, I guess because we're a misunderstood show, right? What would you just say, or listen, guys, here's the most misunderstood thing about taxes, and I don't want you to fear it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that you said that the IRS is not the enemy. You know, it's just how to figure out how to work with them and know what you're getting into. Right. So what else would, I think that's misunderstood. I think people are scared of the IRS.
Yeah. I think, look, the tax code is 4 million pages going on 4,400,000 pages of tax code. And there's so many opportunities within that. The tax code is not written to police you. The tax code is written to tell you all the ways you can reduce your taxes, right? 99% of the tax code is not about enforcement. It's about, hey, here's all these ways to lower your taxes. I think that's the misunderstood issue with the tax code. But how does someone take advantage of all 4,200,000 pages? I would go into ChatGPT or the internet and say, look, here's some things I'm thinking about for tax write-offs. What you tell me, can I take this? And that let that go through the 4,200,000 pages and find all the tax benefits for you.
Right, right. Okay, Julio, this has been so eye-opening. I love it. If people want to reach out to you, so I know you said at the beginning, you work with mostly accountants, CPAs. If an individual wants to hire your firm, can they do that?
Oh, yeah. Listen, we're happy. And first of all, we would start, find out what their business is, run a grant report for them and see what they qualify for. Those are free. And we'll also look at missed tax credits, missed tax incentives and give you that report so you can bring that back to your accountant and have a conversation with him to see how they can do better for you. So,
and do you also list accountants that are approved by you, that work with you, that people can kind of look at that list and hire them?
Yeah, absolutely. So happy to share that. And like, we're just here to help. And I'm tax reform expert on Instagram. So, you know, I'm on all the social media, but, and I do daily tax tips. So, you know, just, you know, if you're going to bed and trying to fall asleep, maybe you just say, let me just look at a tax tip for the evening. Maybe it's about the pets. Maybe it's about, how do I write off jewelry? How do I write off shoes? How do I write off that new handbag? We'll have tips there for you.
Amazing. Tell our listeners where they can find you. What the web, is there a website? I assume there's a website.
Yeah, Engineered Tax Services. So look us up. Hopefully, just spend, like, again, a lot of people spend a lot of time working out, maybe a couple hours a day. Just spend a few minutes a month just thinking about, what can I do? What grants can I find? What tax incentives can I find to help me grow my wealth?
Yeah, I think it's really important that, you know, especially because people live in so much fear about their taxes and their money. The best thing to do is educate themselves and find out that they don't have to be fearful. The more you know, the less fearful you'll be, and the more you'll be able to help yourself keep that money that you spent all year working really hard to earn, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Julio. I can't wait to see you soon. I wish you the best of luck in all your travels coming up, and I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.